Welcome to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post in association with Three Super Tips. I'm Dave Clark, he's Steve Palmer, and hopefully we can bring you all the goodness in golf betting here. And we've got the top man on the punter's bag once again, Steve, and a profitable week last week.
Yeah, a profitable week, but so close to the big potatoes. So near yet so far. It was nearly a dream fortnight, wasn't it? Obviously, Elvis Smiley won the Australian PGA. If Curtis Luck had then won the Australian Open, I would be currently buying Christmas presents for strangers, Dave. I was going to become a philanthropist for the rest of the year. But Curtis Luck got a bit edgy over those closing holes, which we'll discuss in a minute. And then Riggs Johnston, who I'm not a fan of. Riggs Johnston... ruined the Australian Open for us at 5 a.m. on Sunday morning. it's another through
well,
the
fair
night.
Play. If you manage to stay up, fair play to you. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe. I saw lots of people in the comments. They're happy with the place money.
Yeah.
Didn't bag the winner, but the place money. Let's jump straight into it then. It was the Australian Open. Now we started off very strongly. There was one or two Herbie gifts flying around on our WhatsApp. I thought Lucas Herbert was gonna do the business. But was it three of the four players placed? So a profitable week.
Yeah, we've got three players in the places. Yeah, and two of our players traded at odds on for the tournament. Lucas Herbert was odds on after just two rounds when he was four shots clear. And Curtis Luck traded at 1.4 on Sunday with three holes to play. So, Riggs Johnston, just a massive party pooper. He was 150-1 last week. And he was winding me up throughout the weekend in the early hours. I made the mistake of staying up for round three, day because Lucas Herbert was four shots clear. I wanted to keep an eye on Herbie. So I went for through the night action for round three. And then you can imagine how I was feeling on Saturday. So I was knackered on Saturday. Went out on Saturday night with my lady wife and another couple and had quite a lot to drink on Saturday night. Got back at about 12:30. And then the coverage came on at 2 a.m. So I had an hour and a half on the sofa, set me alarm for 2 a.m. And then the next moment I woke up, it was 4:45 a.m., Dave. I'd somehow slept through the alarm. It's on my lap. I don't know how it happened. So absolute panic stations at 4:45 a.m. I was just like, ugh. So I ran upstairs, had a quick pee, grabbed the dog who was barking away because she thought there was an intruder downstairs. So got the logistics out of the way and then turned the telly on and there he is, Curtis Luck, top of the leaderboard. Joyous moment. And, for a couple of holes, it was looking really good from that moment onwards. My dad was texting me. My dad was up really early. He gets up really early every day. He was texting with Curtis Luck excitement. And then, then Riggs Johnston just spoiled the party day. He's not a player that I expected to spoil the party. There was plenty of others that I was worried about. I didn't think he was the one to worry about. Very, very quickly went wrong, Dave. Do you want me to take you through the bullet points of what happened from there?
Well, I mean, I watched the highlights. I didn't watch it live, but it felt like a massive moment was the putt on 15.
Yeah.
Riggs Johnston.
Yeah. I just could not believe my eyes. He was holing putts I just did not expect him to hole. And he made back-to-back birdies. You're right, on the 14th and the 15th. Back-to-back birdies from Johnston and then back-to-back bogeys from Curtis Luck at 17 and 18. So it was so sudden how things changed. You know, Curtis Luck, as I say, 1.4 on the exchanges. We were going to have 125-1 winner. And, the world was looking so rosy. And then just boom, boom, boom. While all those disasters were unfolding, my whole family arrived on the scene because it was December the 1st. Oh. December the 1st, Dave, all this was happening. So obviously the elves arrive. I don't know how it works in your house, but the Christmas elves obviously arrive on December the 1st and start doing their cheeky thing. So both kids come down just as Riggs Johnston is rolling those putts in to try and hunt the elves. And the wife's on the scene. The advent calendars are coming out. There's Christmas cheer everywhere. And I'm just watching Riggs Johnston. I loathe Riggs Johnston, I have to be honest. Don't get me started.
Well, he's not ruined Christmas. He's not the Grinch, but he's spoiled the party.
Yeah, it should be called Scrooge Johnston. But as I say, I think he was 150-1. I can't believe he wasn't a bigger price. I mean, I think the bookies must be impressed by his name or something. I know he's got a fancy name. Did you know he's named after a Lethal Weapon character? Have you watched that film? Lethal
Weapon? No, I mean, I know it's a peculiar spelling with R-Y-double-G-S.
Yeah, and there's some fella on Lethal Weapon. So his parents have named him after a Lethal Weapon character. He was a lethal weapon to our hopes and dreams on Sunday. But, you know, he had very little to advertise his chances. He's world number 954 going into last week. You know, I'm obsessed with former world number one amateurs. Riggs Johnson, he didn't get higher than 32nd in the world amateur rankings. He didn't really win anything. He's just not a player I expected to make an impact so suddenly. But then he finished 8th at the DP World Tour Q School earlier last month. Then he was 43rd in the Aussie PGA in his first DP World Tour event. And he wins his second DP World Tour event. So, I thought 150-1 was a bit stingy, really. And I cannot believe that we had three in the mix. Lucas Herbert, Wenyi Ding, our beloved Wenyi Ding. He tied for fifth. Herbert tied for fifth. Curtis Luck, runner-up. So, I'm trying not to be disappointed with it, Dave, because as you say...
Well, you shouldn't be. You should. The people in the comments are happy. You know, you're knocking on the door. You're not putting up three players and they're all missing the cut. Like, you're there. It feels like you're in the zone, Steve. We know this is your time of the year.
Yeah, I'm in the zone. And we've only got 3 weeks to go, haven't we? This week, next week, week after. And then that's us done for until the new year. So, we're trying to finish with a flourish. And, I think we are. And, I'm pretty confident about this week. Trying not to be disappointed about last week.
Well, we've got two tournaments this week, a really good one as well. Then we're off to South Africa for the Nedbank, and we've got the Hero World Challenge, which I always just associate with Tiger Woods for some reason. I don't know why, but we'll get on to that. Any other takeaways from the Australian Open?
Well, I suppose we should just talk about what a good shape Australian golf is in. I mean, Curtis Luck finished second. They'll be the Aussies will be pleased to see him come back to form, because I still think he's got a very big future. He got nervous over the closing stretch there because he hadn't been contending for a big title for a while. Lucas Herbert, I also still have faith in him. You know, just luckless on the greens, really. Three bad putting rounds. He'd be fuming that he let that four-shot lead disappear. And he actually didn't get his open place. I mean, there was three spots for the Open Championship up for grabs. Herbert, when he's four shots clear, must be thinking, oh, I've booked my ticket for Royal Port Rush. Didn't even get one in the end. And then Wenyi Ding, we need to keep a close eye on this fella. Pretty bright future ahead for Wenyi Ding. Elvis Smiley, how can we get through this broadcast without mentioning him? He finished in that logjam for fifth place. Yeah, what a fortnight of goal from Elvis Smiley. I think he's probably the best of the Aussie youngsters. Jasper Stubbs, Harrison Crowe. So, yeah, if I was an Australian golf fan, I'd be quite optimistic about the future.
And is this, a pathway for them to get on the PGA Tour? You know, get on the DP World Tour, some of them have done, just for their performances last couple of weeks, and then try and build towards America?
That's it. Yeah. Elvis Smiley is going to take that route. He's gone from Australasian Tour now to the DP World Tour. And then next season, I expect him to have a successful time on the DP World Tour. And then maybe he'll get one of those Race to Dubai rankings for the PGA Tour. So, absolutely. We're all trying to climb ladders, Dave. I think Elvis is going places fast.
Good stuff. Right, let's move on then. We've got two tournaments. Now, we're off to South Africa for the first of them. It's the Nedbank Golf Challenge at the Gary Player Golf Course. Defending champion is in the field, 2023 Max Homer, won by four shots. Talk to us about the track first, Steve.
Yes, sir. Gary Player Country Club, Sun City, South Africa. 7,819 yards, par 72, four par fives. It hosted the Nedbank from 1981 to 2019. Then it staged the South African Open in December 2020 and again in 2021. Then the Nedbank returned in 2022. We got loads of other course form from minor Sunshine Tour events. I won't bore you with them. Massive course, but it's at altitude, so the balls fly far in the rarefied air. The first afternoon this week could be breezy, but not much wind in the forecast from there. The heat might be the biggest problem for the players, Dave. Temperatures set to reach 41 C at times this week. So extremely sweaty bloomers all round. A field of 66 going to post and no cut.
No cuts. Okay, right. So attribute then, what we're looking for, I'm assuming it's not distance.
Well, quality ball striking has been the key to success in this tournament through the years. You know, your Lee Westwoods, your Tommy Fleetwoods, churn out greens in regulation and you'll be a factor.
Do you think that heat's going to be much of a factor? It can't be an excuse for many players. Oh, it's a bit hot.
Well, they're used to it, aren't they? I mean, that is the idea of these schedules. They chase the sunshine. So, as long as they put their factor 50 on and a good cap, I think they'll be okay. But you want to be fit. It is a factor. Sorry, David, it is a factor. I always try and be facetious about most things, but it is a factor in terms of fitness. There aren't many players out there that aren't particularly fit these days. You know, Monty might have struggled back in the day, and Fuzzy Zeller and Craig Stadler. Tim Heron would have struggled. But there's not many unfit players. But if you want a young, fit buck on your team this week.
They're the only players I'm backing anyway, Steve. So we'll be all right there. We'll be all right. Right, let's have a look at the market then. Corey Connors, 12-1. Christian Bezuidenhout, 14s. Max Home, the defending champion, 14s. Thjornbjørn Olesen, 16s. Decent field here, Steve. What do you make of the lineup? Corey Connors, bit of a strange one, but here he is and he's the favourite.
Yeah, I think he's a very poor favourite, a very unappealing favourite. I can't be backing Corey Connors. What's he, best price 10-1? I think he's suspect mentally, course debutant. He's only won two tournaments as a professional. He turns 33 next month. And both of those wins were in the Texas Open. It's sort of like a Texas Open specialist. So, yeah, I just have no passion for backing him at those prices.
Okay, right. Well, who have you got a passion for? How many in the team?
I've got two in the team, Dave.
Two for this, and how many in the Hero World Challenge?
Two. We're going for a Desmond 2-2. Right, Desmond 2.
Desmond. I like it. Desmond, yeah, Desmond. Absolutely. Right, who is the main pick then for the Nedbank?
Tom McKibben. Have I ever mentioned him before? Tom McKibben, 22-1, who will be so relieved to have secured his PGA Tour car for next season. It went down to the wire, as we discussed last week. He played the 72nd hole of that DP World Tour Championship in textbook fashion. So gutsy to earn his stateside ticket. He was under maximum pressure there. He hit two brilliant shots to reach the green. He had a ticklish downhill putt for eagle. So a two-putt birdie secured him stateside golf next year. That event was obviously a triumph for Northern Ireland. Rory McIlroy lifted all the silverware. Tom McKibben will be joining his mate Rory McIlroy on the PGA Tour next year. I expect there were plenty of celebrations at Hollywood Golf Club where McIlroy and McKibben developed their games as youngsters. He's had a week off to freshen up. A couple of weeks to freshen up. And I think a trip to South Africa is the perfect way to get going again. McKibben loves teeing up in this part of the world. His first full season as a professional was 2022. He started his Challenge Tour campaign that year in South Africa. He finished third in the Cape Town Open when he was ranked 1,156th in the world. Then he was seventh in the Johnson Workwear Open the following week. So he rocketed it straight up to 611th in the world rankings. South Africa laid the foundation for McKibben's professional career. He's played a total of 14 tournaments in Africa, Dave, as a professional. 4 on the Challenge Tour, 10 on the DP World Tour. He's made the cut in all of them. 8 of them have resulted in top 20 finishes. His record in this neck of the woods is rock solid. His one previous appearance at the Gary Player Country Club yielded 33rd place in last year's Nedbank. Solid debut. It's a driver's track. It's a ball striker's track. So McKibben, a leading title contender for me on his second visit to this track. He's had a really consistent 2024, 10th in Abu Dhabi and 11th in Dubai in his last two starts. All that's missing this year, Dave, is a victory. Agonising playoff defeat for us in the Italian Open in June. So, the time has come for Tom to lift some silverware. Yeah, it's been a satisfying year for the lad and it's going to get better.
And you love him. You do love him. You're a big fan.
I do love him. I love seeing those long levers. It's like a classic swing, long levers, nice attitude. I just think he's weakness free. And then I can't wait to see him on the PGA Tour. And I just think, a DP World Tour event now is just like a bit of fun for him, isn't it? I think he can really have some fun this week. And I can't resist Tom McKibben at 22-1.
feels like a bit of a free roll for him. You've put him up a few times, Steve. Have you got room on the wall there? I can see an England shirt in the background. Is there any more room on the wall anywhere in the shed?
Yeah. I probably should have him. I'm keeping picture up here somewhere, shouldn't I?
If he wins, I'm going to buy you something that's going up on the wall.
Thank you very much.
We'll have a few quid on. And we'll play out the winnings.
That'll
for
be my Christmas present.
McKibben merch.
Yeah, I need
McKibben merch up on the wall.
I like it. Yeah. That'd be a nice Christmas present, Dave. Thank you. Yeah, I've asked for a Luke Littler shirt as my Christmas present from my wife. So hopefully I'll get a Luke Littler shirt and a Tom McKibben picture.
There you go.
And some Ferrero Rochers. I need some Ferrero Rochers. Get me them as well, please.
Right, here's the main pick then for the Ned Bank. 22-1-ish, we say. Each way play there looks at a solid play as well at that. So who's the other selection?
Nikolai Hogger. Also 22-1, I believe, who, like McKibben, hungry for silverware. Hogger has not lifted any silverware this year. He's keen to continue his streak of winning a DP World Tour event in each of the previous 3 years. The DP World Tour Championship in November last year was his last success. He was gutted to not be able to defend that title. He didn't qualify for that last month. I think he'll take out those frustrations on Gary Player Country Club. From the French Open onwards, Hoggard has rediscovered his sparkle. The last month and a half has been really encouraging for Nikolai fans. Form figures of 18, 20, 9, 13. That 13th place came in Abu Dhabi despite an opening round of 71. He closed with rounds of 65, 66, 68. Looked right back to his best. He's had 3 weeks off to freshen up since then. I see him contending strongly for the Nedbank title for the second consecutive year. Banging it last year, you might remember. Runner-up. He finished runner-up last year. His 15 under par total last year, Dave, would have been enough to top the leaderboard in the previous five editions of the Nedbank. He was really unlucky to run into an inspired Max Homa. Hoggard took time to settle with at this venue in previous visits, but that was due to too cavalier an approach. He was very ultra-attacking, and it didn't work out. Last year, had a much more conservative approach. His course management was excellent last year. I think he'll bring that professional attitude to Sun City this week, because there's a lot at stake this week. We mentioned the winning streak that he's looking to continue, but there's also world ranking motivation for Hoggard. He's 58th in the world rankings. If you start the new year in the top 50 of the world rankings, you're playing in the Masters. He's not got any exemption for the Masters yet. So this is a big tournament for Nikolai Hoggard, and I expect him to produce.
Bit of motivation. I like it.
Yeah,
we're not buying any merch for him though. He's not on the same level as McKibben if he gets the job done.
I think motivation's important. Motivation's important at this time of the year, Dave. Lots of players are still in holiday mode. You know, they got in their Santa outfits and they're not interested. But you know, I can assure you that Hoggard is.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to kind of get onto, Steve. With the, you know, Max Homa is the defending champion. Look at some of the players at the top of the market. Corey Connors is the market leader. What's he getting up to?
Yeah, it's just a holiday for him, isn't it? Yeah, I just don't understand the price of Corey Connors. It's one of those weeks I'd like to be a bookmaker. I can't see me ever joining the dark side of the force. But if I was a bookmaker, I'd be looking to lay Corey Connors because you know he gets unsettled in familiar surroundings. You know, this is a trip to South Africa. He's very unfamiliar surroundings and conditions. I just don't expect him to settle quickly. And then, yeah, Christian Bezuidenhout is 12-1, I believe, top price. Again, it's not a price that you can get excited about. You know, his form is pretty humdrum. I think bookmakers getting a bit overexcited about his victory here in the 2020 South African Open. But, you know, remember that was during COVID times, a very low-key event. It was a rubbish field that he beat. He's got much more to beat this week. So I think the top two in the market are really short prices. Max Homa is next on the list at 14-1. You know, generally awful since the Masters. He was third in the Masters in April, but has been pretty rubbish since. He sacked his swing coach after the St. Jude Championship in August. He finished last in the St. Jude Championship and you know, parted company with his swing coach. I think his mind is cluttered with swing thoughts at the moment. You know, he left this tournament last year after victory as world number 7. Didn't have a care in the world. You know, he returns as world number 35 and much worse nick this year. So I don't like the top three in the betting. I really love my two.
That's fair enough. Anything else to add?
I don't think so. I mean, obviously, Thunder Bear will tempt plenty. You know, I love Thunder Bear, but he's not a great driver of the ball. I don't think, I want great drivers on my side this week, and I've got two of the best in the business.
Okay, let's move on then to the Hero World Challenge. And we talk about the best in the business, and the very best in the business is on show. Before we get into it, Steve, the chef is back.
Yeah, the very best in the business by a long way, isn't it? I mean, Xander Schauffele, a lot of people think he's getting closer to Scheffler, but he's not there yet, is he? It's great. Yeah, it's great to have the best in the business. But I'm really excited about watching him this week.
Okay, right. Quite a unique tournament. Where are we off to and what's the format here, Steve?
Yes, it's Albany, New Providence, the Bahamas, 7,449 yards, par 72, 5 par 5s, only 8 par 4s on this course. We've got 5 par 3s as well. The World Challenge has been staged here since 2015. It's a luxury resort. Ernie Els is the course designer. It's wide open, relatively rough free. As a link-style track. It's extremely straightforward for the tour professionals unless the wind blows. We've got clear and pleasant weather expected this week, light to moderate breezes, loads of birdies to feast upon. And we've got a field of 20 going to post, Dave. No cut. I'm definitely not going to tip a player to who misses the cut this week, which is always pleasant because there's no cut in either event. So we're going to get runs for our money in both of them.
Okay, stellar cast as well. Now, not up on my Bahamas geography, if you like, but this is definitely not in New York, as our running order suggests. Was that just the put away by the production team?
Well, you'll have to ask the production team. No. It's a tropical location.
Is a golf tournament that I would play in if I was a pro, Steve. If I could, this is what dreams are made of, right? We're off to the Bahamas. This is a nice weekend away.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tiger Woods is the man that's got to invite you. So, it's supposed to be the best of the best, but we'll get to the quality of the field. This year's field is not what we're used to seeing in this.
Okay, give us a key attribute that we're looking for at this course.
I think short game skills. I think around the greens is probably the trickiest aspect of it. You've got to chip really well around these greens. The two players I've selected are two of the best in the business in that regard.
Right, market leaders, Scotty Scheffler, Justin Thomas, Ludwig Herbert, Patrick Cantlay, some big names at the top of the league betting list there. Steve, who is the main selection though?
Scotty Scheffler, a general 5-2 favourite. Get some enhanced win-only prices if you can. This field is poor, Dave. You've probably mentioned the best players there. Well, you have mentioned the best players there. It's the worst World Challenge lineup I can remember. A little while ago, this field was stronger. Hideki Matsuyama was supposed to be playing. Tony Finau was supposed to be playing. Billy Horschel was supposed to be playing. They've all pulled out. Tiger Woods is not playing. More importantly, Xander Schauffele is not playing. Rory McIlroy is not playing. Colin Morikawa is not playing. And perhaps even more importantly, Victor Hovland's not playing. Hovland is the only player who has managed to beat Scotty Scheffler in the Hero World Challenge. Scotty Scheffler has played in only the last three editions of this event. Hovland beat him by a shot in 2021. Hovland beat him by two shots in 2022. Scheffler won by three shots last year. So the chef has form figures at Albany of 2-2-1. He's the only course winner in this week's field. And it's easy to forget, Dave, how much Scheffler was struggling coming into this tournament 12 months ago. He actually arrived really low on confidence because his putting woes were so entrenched. He'd gone almost 9 months without a victory. His putter was letting him down badly, wasting all his approach play. He'd just had a nightmare at the Tour Championship. He was in tears at the Ryder Cup. Remember that? Crying at the Ryder Cup after Ludwig had given him a pasting. Rewind a year. Coming into this tournament last year, Scheffler was a bundle of frustration, but rounds of 60, 69, 66, 65, 68 meant he cruised to Hero World Challenge glory. He just started working with Phil Kenyon as putting coach. They found an immediate solution to his putting problems, and the rest is history. You know, the World Challenge was the start of Scheffler looking solid on the greens. He's played 21 tournaments since recruiting Kenyon as his putting coach, and he's won 9 of them. He's finished outside the top 10 in only 3 of them. He's the defending champion this week. This year, he's won the Arnold Palmer Invitational, the Players' Championship, the Masters, the Heritage, the Memorial, the Travelers' Championship, the Olympic gold medal, the Tour Championship. This has been a ridiculous year. He's been regularly winning massive events. I think he's going to end it on a high. This is his last event of the year. He hasn't played since the President's Cup, but he's the ultimate professional. He'll have prepared thoroughly for this. He's had the same amount of time off before this one that he had before the last one. But this time, he's in that break. He's had, you know, confidence, happiness. So he's fresh as a daisy, but he's in much better nick than he was last year. He won by 3 shots last year when a bit uncertain about his game. This time, you know, how many is he going to win by this year? I mean, who can beat him, Dave? So, yeah, give me someone who can beat him. You can definitely pick potential rivals. You can count them on one hand, I'd say. This field, you've got 8 debutants in this field. 8 debutants. 40% of the field have never seen this course. You've got Wyndham Clark and Tom Kim, who are probably going to be scrapping in the car park all week, after the President's Cup. You know, they hate each other. And you know, Tiger Woods, he's got a mischievous sense of humour. I wouldn't be surprised if he pairs those.
They're playing together.
It'd be great, wouldn't it? Yeah, Tiger, it'd be so funny if Tiger, because it's up to Tiger who plays with who. You know, he used to always pick Justin Thomas to play with him. If he puts Tom Kim and Wyndham Clark together, you know, fireworks after the President's Cup there. But yeah, the list of credible alternatives to Scheffler this week is so small. Let the chef pay for your Christmas dinner, Dave.
Let the chef cook. Right, well, listen, I know you put an ungodly amount of hours in to your preparation. The homework goes in, you live and breathe the sport. But let me ask you, Steve, how long did it take you to work out that he was going to tip Scottie Scheffler as the main pick for this?
I start at 8 a.m. on Mondays normally, and I finish about midnight. I try my hardest. I don't want to be tipping favourites. I want to find alternatives, but you can try as hard as you like.
But you make such a good case for him, it's almost obvious.
And 5-2 is perfectly fair, isn't it? I mean, there was some slightly better enhanced win only prices available yesterday. I just think, you know, what price are you expecting to get? He looks a surefire. Yeah. I mean, anything bigger than 2-1 is massive for me. And I've only got one player I think's got any hope of defeating him.
Okay, well, reveal all then. Who is the other selection?
Well, if you have a win-only bet on Scheffler and then you have an each-way bet on Justin Thomas, I think you've got such a formidable staking plan there. You can get 11-1 Justin Thomas, getting 4 each-way places. Or you could take 14-1, taking just 3 each-way places. This is one of the rare weeks when Bet365's 5-3 market is actually worth considering, because you get a bigger win price there. So 14-1, 5-3, 11-1's available elsewhere, 5-4. Scheffler's 3-1 in that 5-3 market. You could back Scheffler at 3-1, 5-3. It's another alternative. He's never finished outside the top 3 at Albany. But Thomas, by far the main threat to Scheffler for my money. Win bet Scheffler, each way bet Thomas. You can also consider the Scheffler-Thomas dual forecast. I've seen 20-1 available about that if you want to jazz up your staking plan a bit more. Just fill your World Challenge portfolio with support for Scheffler and Thomas. I see him dominating the event. We've got 4 rounds guaranteed, no cut, great weather, no draw bias possible. You know, there are only 20 runners, so they all tee off at a similar time. The circumstances are perfect for the cream to rise to the top of the leaderboard. Thomas just walking on air at the moment. Just become a father. Little Molly Grace Thomas arrived safely on the 18th of November. So we've had a very recent example. Do you remember us discussing Rafael Campos? We've had a very recent example of the power of the nappy factor. Yeah. Justin Thomas, full of positive vibes, happy, relaxed, loose. A happy, relaxed, loose Justin Thomas is a dangerous beast indeed. And yeah, edginess and agitation is what's cost Thomas this year, particularly on the greens. There's been an edginess, an agitation when he's putting. But I think we'll see a free-flowing carefree JT this week, and I expect him to build on an excellent Albany course record. He's got more course experience than anyone else in the field, Dave. He's played in every World Challenge since 2017. His form figures are 11, 12, 5, 5, 5, 3. And on the evidence of his last tournament, the Zozo Championship at the end of October, he's ready to strongly threaten again. He tied second in the Zozo, beaten by just a shot. His ball striking was exceptional all week. He dropped only one shot in that tournament. Just couldn't get the putts to drop, but crucially, he was happy with his stroke. He said he was shaving the edge of the holes. He was luckless on the greens. He was the seventh best scorer in the Tour Championship in his event prior to the Zozo. So the signs are really encouraging for JT fans. I wouldn't be surprised if a 16th PGA Tour title came on Sunday if Scheffler underperformed. Thomas's record in limited field, no cut events is better than anyone's. He's twice won the Century in Hawaii, similar sort of event to this, small field, tropical island. So, yeah, if anyone can beat the chef this week, then it's Justin Thomas.
I'm going to say it. He's trending in the right direction with his form.
Absolutely is. Yeah. Really encouraging. The last few weeks, I mean, the Tour Championship, he was good, really good. Zozo, really good. Obviously, mentally really good for this. Yeah, it's the perfect nappy factor.
I mean, would it be harsh to say he's been in the doldrums for a little while prior to that?
No, that's not harsh. No, this is a player that, you know, former world number one, used to winning tournaments regularly and hasn't been. You know, two-time major champion. No, that's fair comment, but the signs are positive. Yeah, the putting is still the main issue. But he liked the way he was rolling his rock in Japan. So not the most exciting staking plan I've ever come up with. And I apologize for that, but we're in the winning business, Dave. And not every week can we have an Elvis Smiley style coup. You know, sometimes you've just got to take what's there.
Well, you've just put up a three-figure runner-up. So we'll let you off, Steve.
Yeah,
I think,
there we go.
I love the nappy factor. Is this the first child for Justin Thomas as well?
Yes. Yeah. First child.
Oh, magical.
Molly Grace Thomas. So the child has actually got my two children's names in her name. My children are Grace and Thomas. So, yeah, Molly Grace Thomas. I've got a lot of time for that name.
Did you catch the weight as well, Steve?
Well, I didn't catch the weight, but I caught the health. It's a healthy baby. I mean, that's important. You're always so relieved as a father everything goes well and mother's doing well. That's always important. So mother and baby doing well, that's all you're after. And Justin will be able to concentrate on the golf this week.
Time to fly. Right, okay, so they are your two selections. I mean, you've already touched on it, that it's not the deepest World Challenge ever staged.
No.
Was any other players on the radar at all?
Well, obviously, we have to discuss Ludwig Aubert. That's the law. I mean, he's the same price as Justin Thomas. But Ludwig Aubert, just easing his way back into action after a long injury layoff, understandably inconsistent on his return in the RSM Classic. He had two really good rounds, two really bad rounds. It's worth noting, though, Dave, that he was on the right side of a significant draw bias at the RSM. We've discussed the RSM Classic draw bias. You know, he played the right courses at the right time. There was almost a four-shot handicap over the first 36 holes. So Aubert's 17th place finish, not as impressive as it looks on paper. It's his World Challenge debut. I much prefer my two. Patrick Cantlay is also getting respect in the market, similar price to Justin Thomas. Cantlay has not played in the World Challenge since finishing 17th of 18 in 2019. They've increased the field to 20 now, but he was second last on his last visit to Albany. He's had a pretty humdrum season by his standards, dropped down to world number 11. So I much prefer my two to Aubert and Cantlay. There was only two players I came close to considering other than my two. Yeah, Sam Burns is 14-1. He's been playing nicely lately. Sepp Straka, 40-1. If you want a big price. Sepp Straka likes this course. But for me, I just want my eggs in this is a very secure basket, I feel. So I think my eggs are going to hatch on Sunday night.
let the chef cook then. So we've got 2-2. We've got each way doubles aplenty there. So yeah, give us a reminder then, Steve, of who we're putting up this week. We'll start with the Ned Bank Golf Challenge.
What about dual forecast double? That's just popped into my head. Is that even, do they allow dual forecast doubles? I mean, that
yeah, we're asking for a lot. I know that much.
I'm going to do that if they let it through. So yeah, Ned Bank Challenge, Tom McKibben and Nikolai Hogger.
And the Hero World Challenge.
Scotty Scheffler. Welcome back, Scotty. And Justin Thomas.
JT with the nappy factor. Well, Steve, it's been a pleasure as ever. Good luck with the punting this week. We'll get some McKibben merch up on the wall in that shed, no doubt. Do drop a comment below. Let us know who you're backing this week. If you've been following Steve, he's been in great form in recent weeks. Enjoy the golf and remember to gamble responsibly. And we'll see you next time.